All right. I am so glad to be here tonight. How many of you like to read stories in the Old Testament? Would you raise your hand? I love those Old Testament stories. When I was in Sunday school and Bible school as a kid, it would thrill me to go to Sunday school and hear how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace, but God delivered them. And then you study about Daniel, how Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and God delivered him. And you can't leave out Moses. He led the Hebrew children out of Egypt. The Egyptian army followed them, and God delivered them out of the Egyptians' hand. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a story that you've heard your whole life, the story of David and Goliath. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And what we're going to be looking at tonight, the subject is called Obstacles or Opportunities. How do you look at life's problems? Now, we've got several scriptures we're going to be looking at, but I'm going to be summing up some of the scriptures. When you look at the beginning of chapter 17, you find the Philistine army is lined up on this side of the mountain. Then you have the Israelite army. They're over here on this side of the mountain. And there's a huge valley between them. As you read the scriptures, you find that there is a giant, Goliath, who comes out. I need my helper to help me demonstrate. The Bible goes in the characteristics of Goliath. And the first thing I want us to know is how tall he was. Now, you told me you're 6'4", right? Have you grown any since lunch? Okay. Put this on top of your head and just turn around so people can see you. That is about 9.5 feet. That is how tall Goliath was. You do a good job, buddy. Give him a round of applause, okay? I appreciate him helping me. You know, as you look at these other characteristics, to me they're just amazing because Goliath, the Bible says, had a bronze helmet. And not only that, he wore a coat of armor, get this, that was 125 pounds. Now, let's just imagine this fall, the Arkansas Razorbacks, each one of the football players had to wear 125 pounds. How long do you think they would last? See, this tells me Goliath had incredible strength. He also had bronze armor on his legs. And he had three weapons. He had a javelin behind his shoulders. He had a spear. And the spearhead itself was 15 pounds. And then he had a sword. Now, we see this Goliath, this giant of a warrior, come out on the plains, okay? I'm sure he had a strong voice. I'm sure his voice echoed between the mountains. Let's look at verse 8. It says, "Then he, Goliath, stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul?'" Now, just put your finger there. Here he plays the game, let's make a deal, okay? He says, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And Goliath didn't stop there. Look at verse 10. And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we can fight together." Now, remember how tall Goliath was? Remember how strong he was. Look at verse 11. When King Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Notice, they weren't just a little afraid. They were greatly afraid. When you look at verse 16 in this chapter, you will find that Goliath came out every day, morning and evening, and said the same words, and he did it for 40 days. Now let's pause this story and go back to David's home. David was back at home and he was tending his father's sheep. The next scriptures tells us that David was one of eight sons. David was the youngest son, and his three older brothers were following Saul into battle. Well, David's father, Jesse, said, "David, come here. I need you to do something for me." He said, "I want you to take some food to your brothers in the Israelite camp. And I want you to talk to your brothers, see how they're doing, and then I want you to come back and give me a report." Well, the next morning, that's what David does. He gets up, he leaves the sheep with someone else. They were watching it. And then he ran to the army. He left his supplies with the keeper of the supplies. And then he looked for his brothers. And sure enough, he found them. So he was talking to them. And about that time, while he was talking, Goliath came out. Now, there's a difference when Goliath comes out this time. You know what that was? David heard him. Look at verse 24. "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid." So here's the picture. They see Goliath and they just start running. Look at verse 25. "So the men of Israel said," and David was standing around when he heard this, "have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Now, how many of you would like to be exempt from taxes in America? Raise your hand. I figured there'd be a bigger amen than that, okay? Well, notice what David's doing. He's hearing these soldiers. In verse 26, he says, "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" Now, the men answer that question. They said, "Well, David, King Saul is going to give you great riches. He's going to give the man his daughter to wife. And then his dad's not going to have to pay taxes." Now, to me, I read something more into this story. I don't think David was just inquiring. I think David knew he was about to be a rich man. He wasn't scared to fight that uncircumcised Philistine. And I think he was saying, "Well, I don't mind fighting him. Man, I want this guy. I know I can take him." Well, his older brother, Eliab, or let me see. I think that was his name. Yeah, Eliab. He was very mad and he was angry with David. And so what happened was, he, I think, just called David aside. And he said, "Why have you come down here? Who did you leave our father's few sheep with in the wilderness?" And notice, he belittled the position, the few sheep. And then he said, "David, I know your pride and your heart, and you've come down here to see the battle." Now, how many of you have ever had an older brother that always belittled you, or he told you what you needed to do? Anyone ever have a brother like that? Raise your hand. I see a couple hands. Well, you can relate to David, because look at verse 29 and look what David says. And David said, "What have I done now?" So with that question, I think he was just like, "Man, you're on me all the time." But he was doing what his father told him to do. And then he asked Eliab a question. And notice, Eliab did not answer it. He said, "Is there not a cause?" See, it did not bother the Israelites. It bothered them greatly when Goliath came out. They were scared of him. But for David, man, he looked at it as an opportunity. He looked at it as an opportunity to bring glory and honor to his God. And he knew that he was going to become a wealthy man. Now look what happens next. Saul hears about this, and that's why I believe David was going around saying, "I'm not scared to take on that uncircumcised Philistine." And I believe word got back to Saul. And then when Saul heard those words that David spoke, he sent for him. Well, David came to him, And then David tells Saul, let no man be scared. I will go out and fight this Philistine. And you know, Saul, he saw David was just a youth. He said, look, David, you're a youth. Goliath is a seasoned warrior. He's been fighting since he was a youth. Basically, you don't stand a chance. But look what David replied in verse 36. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Well, Saul agrees to let him go. But I want to stop the story a minute. Goliath was the tallest soldier in the Philistine army. Who was the tallest soldier in the Israeli army? King Saul. Scripture tells us he was head and shoulders taller than all the Israelites. He should have been the one that went, but instead a youth went. So Saul said, okay, here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you my coat of armor, give you my sword and my helmet. Now, David tried to put all these things on, but remember, he was probably much shorter being a youth than what King Saul was. So he put on the helmet, he put on the suit of armor, and then he starts trying to walk. And it's just too big for him. He just can't get anywhere. So he just takes it off and says, look, King Saul, I haven't tested this. I haven't proved this. I can't do this. Look at verse 40. Then David took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. In the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Folks, the fight is about to begin. Verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who wore the shield went before him. So not only did Goliath go, but his shield bearer went in front of him. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he was disdained. He disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Now think about this. Goliath apparently sees a stir in the soldiers. So he's thinking, finally someone's going to try to fight me. And then they send out a youth. He's not wearing armor, no helmet, no knee pads or armor on his legs. He's not carrying a javelin. He's not carrying a spear. He's not even carrying a sword. Goliath is ticked off. Verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now Goliath is about to do some trash talking to David, and he is trying to intimidate him. Verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. You think David was scared? Not a bit. Now David starts trash talking Goliath because David knew Goliath was going to be delivered into his hands. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you in my hand, and I will strike you, and I'll take your head from you. In other words, he said, I'm coming after you. God's given you to me. When I strike you, I'm going to cut off your head. And David just doesn't stop there. Let's keep reading that verse. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. Then all this assembly, and he's talking about the Philistines and the scaredy cat Israelis, they shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So get the picture. As soon as Goliath starts coming near to David, David starts running toward Goliath. Verse 49, then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the head and in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. Now let's apply this story to our lives. When King Saul and the Israelite army looked at Goliath, they saw a hopeless situation. They saw him as a huge problem. They saw him as an obstacle. They had a lack of faith in God because they never looked to him to deliver them from their problem. As a result, they were living a life filled with great fear. They lived a life of worry and unrest. David, on the other hand, he looked at Goliath as an opportunity to show the nations the power of God. He knew without a doubt God would deliver this Philistine into his hand. He had peace knowing God was in control of the situation. Tonight I want to ask you a question. Are you going through some major problems or difficulties in your life? Do your problems look as tall as what Goliath was? Maybe someone's been recently diagnosed with cancer in your family. Maybe it's an incurable disease. Maybe because of COVID, one of your family members has lost their job. They're having financial problems. Folks, whatever the problem, are you looking at it as an obstacle or as an opportunity to bring honor and glory to God? If you're looking at it as an obstacle, you are worrying, you're discouraged, and you're scared. These can be and will be hazardous to your health. Today, I want to challenge you to look at your problems as opportunities to show God's power to the world. To do this, you have to do two things. The first thing, believe Jesus can deliver you from all your problems. Matthew 19:26 says, with God all things are possible. And the second thing is the hardest to remember. Sometime God does not deliver us the way he wants us to be delivered. I'll give you an example. When I was in college and in my 20s and even in my 30s, there were three things that I begged God to grant. And it all started in college. And I want to tell you, I lived for Christ in my high school years, my college years, and in my 20s. I've wanted to serve God with my life. So to me, it would make sense. God's going to answer this prayer because I go to church and it says, ask and ye shall receive. So I was asking, God, please grant these three requests. But you know what? God did not grant any of those three requests. And there were times in my life that I felt like God had abandoned me. I felt like he let me down. And one of those times, I really got mad at God. And I'm thinking, why am I serving you if you won't even grant me one of three, or at least three requests? Lord, I don't get this. But I had to come to realization, because when I was going through those times of doubt, there was turmoil. There were storms inside me. But when I came to realization, okay, God, I don't understand the direction you're going with this, but I'm going to trust you. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Folks, it's tough when you're going through a trial and God's not working it out the way you think. But it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and He shall direct your paths. And that's what I did. Even though it looked like God wasn't working for me, I trusted Him anyway. And when I finally gave it to Him, said, okay, God, I don't understand this, but do whatever you have to in my life. You know something? Even though the storm was about me, there was a peace here in my heart. And I was able to endure those trials even more. Now, I want to tell you, years later, I was walking. And I was walking out at Pleasant View Park. And all of a sudden, God has always known, when I get to heaven, I wanted to ask God, I don't understand. Can you explain this? And I realized when we get to heaven, it's going to be so great. We're going to forget about all these cares down here. But you know what? Last year, during the COVID, I was walking at Pleasant View Park. And it was like, bam, bam, bam. God gave me the reasons why He didn't answer those prayers. And I was dumbfounded. Because He pointed something out to me. If one of those three things would have worked out the way I'd said, guess what? I would not be where I'm at today. So sometimes we just have to take Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you're in the will of God, whatever happens, it's going to work out for good. And I just had to stand back and say, God, You knew what You were doing all along. Folks, I challenge you tonight, let's stop looking at our problems as obstacles. Let's look at them as opportunities in which we can bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight I'm going to close with a song. And I asked Beth if she would sing this. This song has meant a lot to me over the years, and I know it will bless your heart. And then after this song, Brother Doug, the service is yours.